If there was a one-pill cure for hangovers, do you think people would drink less?
No, they'd drink more.
Exactly.
I would.
So if there's a one-pill cure...
I'm looking forward to it already.
Mark, hi, good morning.
Good morning. You know, last week and this weekend were dominated by the consumption of vast quantities of boerewors and things of that nature. I read yesterday that there's a discussion going on about VAT-free chicken.
Yeah, it's been going on for ages.
I've always been a bit fascinated by the role that VAT could play. And in my view, and I remember writing this to the Minister of Finance decades ago, to say that VAT could be the solution to all of our tax issues. And it worked like this for me, Tim. You'd calculate every year how much revenue you needed to collect.
Okay.
And then you would divide that by the number of VAT, you know, payers. And that would be your VAT rate. Now, the way you would cater for the discrepancy in LSMs is that there'd be lots of zero-rated or partially rated or highly rated VAT items. Like if you want to buy a Ferrari, it's 40%. If you want to buy bread, it's zero, and so on. And so you could have this comprehensive, all-encompassing, all-thinking about tax system, which required no compliance oversight because it happens at the till by default, and it would be simple. What do you think of that, Tim?
Well, I think it's a very bad idea.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. All right. Tell me.
You tell me something first. What would the VAT rate be on average if you did that?
I don't know, but we can make it anything on average in a sense. Okay. And I imagine it might even be lower than the current 15%. But let's just say we needed it to be 15%. It would actually have to be higher because there'd be no income tax, okay?
Right.
But there'd be no income tax, which means there'd be much more disposable income, which means that, you know, and there'd be no capital gains tax. All the money that you get, you can spend. Okay. So I think that would have a massive positive effect on the economy. And the real issue for me is the discretionary nature of tax. It's up to you whether you want to pay tax in that world, okay? So basic foodstuffs and things that are about survival and existence, you won't pay tax on.
Okay.
But if you want luxury, it's your choice. Don't buy it if you don't want to pay the tax. Okay. So I don't know what the composite rate would be, but you could almost say there's a cap on it and we're going to solve it in the mix.
Right. I mean, wouldn't it logically be about three times what it is now, since VAT is about a third of total tax income? Wouldn't you say that basically then we're talking about a 45% VAT rate? And isn't that the problem?
45% flat rate for me is lower than my comprehensive tax rate, mate.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay.
But now you're loading everything onto the consumption side of the economy.
I'm not loading everything.
Bread
is for free. Milk is for free. Education is for free. No VAT. Zero VAT draft. Okay. You know, I pay income tax. Then I pay tax on the interest of any savings I have. Then I pay VAT. Then I pay, my comprehensive, if you're at the margin, your comprehensive VAT rate, I haven't worked it out, but it's probably 60%. So they said to me, you've got a flat 45% now.
5% VAT.
And it's up to you. Hey?
Well, I mean, you know, the traditional criticism of VAT is that it's regressive. In other words, that it...
Mm.
So obviously you've made compensation for that by rating at different points. So that will reduce some of the regressiveness. Don't you come across another problem? What do you not zero rate? What is not important? I mean, Lamborghinis, obviously, you know, you put them in the...
Yeah.
But cameras. You know, some people work with cameras.
I would say cameras are somewhere in the middle.
Okay,
because they can produce income, or if you like, maybe the deciding point is whether these things are income producing or not. I don't know. I haven't applied my mind to it, but I'd say this. I think it'd be self evident if you put a list of 10 up,
right,
which should be rated highly and which should be rated lower.
Yes, and
basically general foodstuffs. You know, caviar wouldn't be a foodstuff; it would be a luxury.
Yes.
Champagne wouldn't be water; it would be a luxury,
right,
and so on.
Yes.
You would work your way through. Being critically aware of the demographic population, and half of the problem is, I guess, that a vast proportion of the population don't pay any tax at all, okay? But you'd capture that in the net because it's paid at the pay point, okay? It's actually immediately payable as you execute a transaction in a system that just is impervious to its, you know, origins, and you can't lie about it or cheat about it, and, you know, unless you just go into the cash economy. I think that brings the whole informal economy in. Eh?
Yeah. No, it does. I mean, the fact is that everybody in South Africa pays tax because everyone's a consumer to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So the idea that there's nobody out there paying tax is false. I mean, I think that the simplicity of it is definitely a mark in its favor. That's a good, an interesting idea. It'd be fascinating. We should try and get somebody to work out what it would look like practically. Because I do think people would, if you think that, you know, how much trouble we had putting up our VAT rate by 1%, if you had to put it up by 40%, you know, people are going to plutz.
No. But you see, your VAT rate's up to you, my friend. If you just buy basic food stuff and send your kids to school, your VAT rate is zero.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, I think the simple equation is take the total GDP.
Yes.
And take the total revenue. What is the total tax revenue collection divided by GDP? There's a starting point. I don't know what that is.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I could guess, but I'd probably get the numbers wrong, and then they'd get somebody will write.
But I doubt it's 45 cents. Anyway, let's stray away from our normal modus operandi, which is where I talk about things I don't understand. Can we get back to something simple?
No.
Yeah. Can we go back to something I know what I'm talking about? Please,
can we go back to VAT on chicken?
why don't you just say, yeah, nice, let's move on. You know, no, instead you have to show me up. Okay, I don't know the answers.
All right. So you know what I think is interesting about the chicken debate in South Africa? I mean, it is really fascinating because I think people don't realize this, but South Africa's, like all of the world, is in real trouble with chicken. And the problem is that it's the preferred protein of South Africans.
Yeah.
We have a big, very effective chicken industry. People love chicken in South Africa. It's just great.
Yeah.
It's a good converter of energy. So, you know, from an environmental point of view, it's a good idea too. The only problem is that one country has now just emerged as the cheapest country to produce chicken on the planet, and that country is Brazil. And they are producing chickens really at the most furious rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't really compete. Never mind the Europeans or, you know, even the Chinese.
Can't we compete with the landed cost of imported chicken, surely?
Nope, we cannot.
Well, what is their benefit? What is their...
Very large farms and big...
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot now because you may... Yeah. Okay, now explain yourself too. Okay, I mean, tell me the per capita cost of chicken in the southeast of... Yeah.
Okay, I can't, but I can tell you that they're around about 20% cheaper than we are.
Okay.
That they're about 20% on average cheaper than...
Before they leave their shores?
No. Landed in South Africa.
Landed?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of shocking. So what do you do in that situation? Do you accept the foreign-made chicken, if that's such a thing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think consumers in South Africa would quite like the idea of some protein being, you know, 20% cheaper than what...
I will never put forward an argument against free trade. Okay, so I'm saying if they can produce chicken cheaper than we can, and we can produce gold cheaper than they can, then let's barter.
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of simple.
Yes.
You know, we play to our strengths and they play to theirs. And so I will never put forward an argument which says we should put false barriers of entry or exit up. So if they're great at producing exactly the same quality of land and chicken, which is equally nutritious and all that stuff, then so be it. What can we produce?
Yes.
And what do they need? And we can eliminate these premiums and tariffs and things. I'm a free trade man.
I mean, but, you know, things change. I mean, things might change in Brazil. We might be able to produce chicken cheaper and cheaper and cheaper as we, you know, they might be setting the bar at a certain level, and then it takes us a while to get there, you know?
That's how the world works in my world, Tim. You know, so some guy does it better than another guy, and then you find a way of, you know, and that's how value chains develop and die, you know? And so they should. You know, there was a time when big fat computers with huge big rooms of storage data ruled the planet. They did now because there was something better and more efficient that emerged. And that's the way of civilized economics. Take that, sports lovers.
On that exact topic,
yes,
my number for this week is about Weight Watchers. And it's not the number that you think.
Okay, well, pray do tell. You know, it's October. We've got to have a month of discipline before we get into the festive season. Tell me. Go on, Tim. Tell me.
Okay, so the question is, how much has Weight Watchers, the company, How much of their shares declined this year?
I have no idea. You'll be surprised to know. Sure.
Yes, I'm always doing this. I'm always asking you numbers that are just impossible to know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the answer is 90%. And the reason is because of the new drugs, the Ozempic and Wegovy and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So the traditional way of losing weight, which was to have a little booklet next to you and to try and keep a track on how much you're eating and to reduce your calorie intake and all of those sorts of things, that system of watching your weight is now gone.
And so unfashionable.
And the poor old Weight Watchers organization is now, taking the brunt of the...
I've got two things to say.
Yeah.
The first one is, what do you say about a share that's lost 90% of its value?
It has 10% still to
leave. It's a share that lost 80% of its value and then halved. Okay. So there's a lesson in there somewhere. But here's the thing. If you substitute with chemicals that are not manufactured inside the body with, to treat a condition that the body would otherwise treat naturally, you lessen the capacity of the body to deal with it. So if you... testosterone might be example or whatever. If you feed yourself with chemicals to replace a good diet or your nutritional diet, then eventually you'll become dependent on the chemicals.
Yes.
And it is absolutely clear to me logically that that is the second best option. It might be the necessary option. It might be an interim option. The trouble is it's too damn easy to keep going.
Right.
Okay. And so I think that these things might have a role as a bridge between where you are and where you want to be. But if they became a permanent feature of your life, it enables you to eat more and more rubbish, okay, because they can take more and more pills. I can't believe that equation has the same net effect as changing your lifestyle.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So if you take testosterone, do you stop producing testosterone?
Yeah. Eventually, your body, it's a bit like, let's do something simpler, vitamin C. If you take vast quantities of vitamin C, the body will absorb that what it needs and it will, excrete the rest, okay?
Right.
It only takes you what it needs. Now, eventually, if it wakes up every morning producing, enzymes that eat fat, and I'm now again, you always take me to a place where I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but I'll go there anyway. Okay.
No, I know.
If your body's used to getting its, anti-fat soldiers up in the morning to get fighting, and as they get up to go and attack these toxic foods and things, they go, no, don't worry, we can sort it out at the gate. Okay. Then eventually those soldiers stop performing because they're not needed. This body of ours is an extraordinary... It's better than AI, okay? Much better than AI, okay? It knows what's going on. And eventually, if you compensate for a natural produced enzyme or chemical in your body by putting it in your body stops making it.
Well, I think it's a bit different with this drug. But anyway, as you say, we're talking about things that we are, on the verge of knowledge.
So, has it got a place? Of course it has. But, let's just take it to the extreme. If there was a one-pill cure for hangovers,
right,
would that be okay? Do you think people would drink less?
No, they'd drink more.
Exactly.
I would.
Exactly. So if there's a one-pill cure...
I'm looking forward to it already.
If there's a one-pill cure for overindulgence, do you think you'll eat less?
Yes. Well, people do say that they hold off most of the weight. Maybe it works differently. Anyway, okay, I'll tell you what. We're running out of time. Let's talk about something completely different.
Yeah.
Can I talk a bit about China?
Yeah. Do they make chicken in China?
They do. A lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that the Chinese markets this past week have really just boomed. They're around about 15% up. It's just an extraordinary jump. Of course, it helps South African shareholders a lot because, we have this investment in China, a kind of like sort of passive investment in China through Process and Naspers, which, own a quarter of Tencent, which is, one of China's biggest companies now. And I just thought it was very interesting because, what's happened is that the Chinese government have just suddenly decided that they're going to jump in.
Yeah.
They've tried it before, but it hasn't worked. But somehow this time, because they did it in a kind of coordinated way, and it really seems as though they really want to grab this bull by the horns, that the markets have really responded really extraordinarily. I just think it's very interesting, a sort of coordinated message. you know, can really, you know, make an enormous difference. I always thought that you could never talk up the markets, but clearly you can.
No, you can, you can. Well, it's interesting because you're talking about a government-private sector partnership in some form, okay? And if it comes across, and we are about to learn all of these lessons, in my view, because we are embracing this notion that government-private sector is better in series than in parallel. But it really depends on how that partnership forms, and it takes an extraordinary amount of foresight and leadership to get the best of both worlds. It's not an either-or situation. So if you have your government supporting your entrepreneurial flair, that's one thing. If you have your government suppressing in their, you know, to suit their agenda, it's quite another. So if the Chinese are getting it right, and instead of telling people what to do, they're asking how they can help, they're going to win. Same here.
Yes. Well, I don't think this is quite sort of like in that kind of style. I mean, of course, the Chinese Communist Party and Chinese business are extraordinarily intertwined in a way that they, you know, that our sort of business sector and public sector are not. So it's a, you know, slightly different situation, but a lot of very big Chinese companies are government owned. But it does seem like they've announced a set of interventions, some directly in the market, some directly to consumers, which is very interesting. You know, some banks, you know, it's this kind of suite of different, you know, measures to boost the markets.
I haven't looked at this, but I'm willing to bet that they all sound helpful rather than dictatorial.
Yes. Oh, no. That is true, I'm sure. It does show that, you know, the Chinese market is 85% down over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So, you know, a 15% rise is actually not very much of an improvement over the kind of longer term.
Again, I have to look inward and say, what are we going to do about the fact, you know, what are we going to do about this mix, you know?
Yeah.
Because that therein lies our salvation almost, if not our demise, okay? And so we could learn from that. And the interesting thing is, why did you have to fall 85% before you came to that realization? And do we have to do the same?
Yes.
Okay, because, well, you know, I think our solutions of recent times have only come out of existential crises.
Yes, no, that's true.
They haven't come out of like standing up and going, well, let's just do this thing together. We're winning anyway, let's win some more.
Yeah.
They're born out of desperation rather than initiative.
Yes.
And
yes.
I welcome the day when that driver changes.
Yes, yeah. It's rather like that phrase, that Churchillian phrase that was really about America, you know, that's... In the end, South Africa will do the right thing, but only after trying all of the other options.
Only after we finally work out that we need each other. You know, anyway, someone asked me, one of our listeners last week said I should raise the question that if South African voters were given the right to vote in America, who would they vote for? And my response was, for me, the discussion would be about who to not vote for. I mean, what do you think to the answer to that question?
I don't know. It's a good question, isn't it? I mean, I think Trump must have lost it when he used that shithole countries comment, when he made that comment about African countries. I think he lost the entire African vote.
And let's face it, he was losing off a low base. Okay.
Yes. No, exactly. And I think it does make a difference that, you know, Kamala Harris is not a sort of European Caucasian, you know what I mean? I think that would make a difference to, you know, would be significant for South Africans. So I would say they would go for Kamala Harris. I would say they would go for Kamala Harris 2-1.
On balance, you're probably right. Although, generally, I mean, you look at what's happening in Austria now. Austria, the far right are overwhelmingly rising. I guess it seems to me that that's, you know, in protest against migration, which has become a central political issue worldwide, isn't it? So again, there's so many forces. It's quite nice to be down here on the southern tip of Africa, okay, while the rest of the world, we're sort of sitting in the umpire seat while there's this vicious game of tennis happening in front of us. I don't know.
No. And in too many places. I mean, Middle East.
Not that our politics, to be fair, is without its nonsense. I mean, this whole thing in Tshwane, the mayor and Action SA, and who's going to be the mayor? And if it isn't us, then we're not going to vote with them. And I've had practically no discussion about the forward plans of whoever's next, only about whether it's us or them. And that's going to be our demise.
And it's never, the argument is never, we need to have this candidate because this candidate has got the qualifications and the history and the plans and to do this job. He's part of our party.
It's ours or not ours. And I mean, the latest I read is that Action SA is going to withdraw from the very recently created alliance previously denied with the ANC if they don't put their candidate in. I despair. Maybe we'll get to a point where we finally reckon, okay, let's fix it instead.
Let's go.
And with that, I wish you a good week, young man.
Me too. Thank you for the young man comment.
I've been taking a Zempic, whatever it's called.
Yes.